Why don't you turn with me to Ezekiel? I know I said we're doing Psalms, but we're going to start in Ezekiel, Old Testament. We're going to run through Psalm 119. We're going to be hitting a lot of highlights, so you're not going to have time to be flipping back and forth, whether in your paper Bible or on your device. So we'll start with Ezekiel. I'll give you one verse you can highlight for today, one passage that you can take home with you, and then the rest of it, we're going to just kind of be running through some stuff. As you're turning to Ezekiel, last week, Taylor, a guy in our church, came up to me. He said, hey, I noticed in Psalm 119, there's all these random words that start each like section. It looks like Psalm 119 is broken up in sections, and there's a random word that starts each section. And I said, yeah. He said, well, what is that? Are those like names of people? And so I just figured I'd give you guys what I told him. It's kind of cool. This has nothing to do with the gospel, but in Psalm 119, you will find like a weird Hebrew word to start each section. Psalm 119 is broken up into, I think, 22 sections of 8 verses. So 22 sections of 8 verses, right? That gives you 176 verses. Each one of those sections is that letter, that word that you see on top is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it goes in alphabetical order. Each line, if you were reading this in Hebrew, each line starts with a word that starts with that letter. So the first one I think is Aleph, which is kind of like our A. So it would be every line, 1 through 8, all start with the letter A. I thought it was pretty cool. It was a neat way for people to memorize the scriptures back in the day whenever they wrote that. It has nothing to do with the gospel. I just want to give you a chance to find Ezekiel because I know it's kind of hard to find. All right, here we go. Let's get into Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through 27. Last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit and the Word come together, right? The Holy Spirit and the Word come together to do some stuff in our life, to show us how to live. Today, the Holy Spirit and the Word come together. And when they come together, they transform us. Whenever we get the Holy Spirit and the Word, it transforms us. And we find that in Ezekiel 36. Here's what it says. It says, God is speaking to the Israelites. He's talking about restoring the Israelites. He's talking about the future. And he says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. Now, right off the bat, that's really good for any of us, even today. All of us today need cleansing, right? We all have sin or issues in our life. We need God to cleanse us. And here's what he says in verse 26. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Verse 27 is the key. This is the one I want you to make sure you underline today. It says, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. God tells us something here. He says, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. I'm not going to just give you a new spirit. I'm not going to just cleanse your spirit. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. Why? There's a purpose behind it. The purpose is so that you will obey my word. So God says in Ezekiel, he's telling us what he's going to do today, and that is he's going to combine his spirit and his word inside of you to help you to live a new life, to transform you. This whole thing is about transformation, cleansing, right? Washing. He's saying new heart, new life. I want to transform you. And the way I'm going to do it is a combination of my spirit and my word. My spirit and my word. And that's why one of the reasons we harp on the word of God in this church. You would think all churches should, but we harp on the word of God. I'm very adamant that not only do we preach God's word, but I'm very adamant that you're reading God's word. I want you going home and reading God's word for yourself. I should not be the only person giving you God's word. You should be getting it on your own. It's good for you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to use what you read. He wants to use what you consume, what you engage with to transform who you are. He doesn't want to just use me. And so there's a couple of things I wanted to kind of point out that I feel like are good examples. One is prison. I was doing a little bit of research and I found that prisoners have a very high return rate. Whenever they get out of prison, there's a very high rate of return to prison. They get caught again unless they have some kind of plan to follow. Whenever prisoners get education, a job, or go through rehab, their chances of going back to prison diminish. If they get all three of those things working, they almost never go back to prison. It's amazing. So they can be reformed. They can come out of prison. They can be changed. But they tend to go back to their old ways unless there's some kind of plan for them to follow. I mention this stat a lot, but Billy Graham Association talks about their big, big services. I don't know. Anyways, they talk about their big services. And one of the things that the Billy Graham Association says about themselves is that somewhere between 2 and 6% of the people that respond to the altar call, who say, I want to serve Jesus, somewhere between 2 and 6% are still in church a year later. So what that tells you is people want to respond. People get this thought about what God wants to do in their life. But if there's no plan for them to follow, they tend to revert back to their old ways. So it's important for us as Christians, if we want to be followers of Christ, if we want to be disciples of Jesus, we want to go beyond just Christian name and really live this thing out, we got to have some kind of plan that we're following. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to use His Word, and He wants to use His Spirit to be able to help us to follow Christ. Psalm 119:45 says, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I will walk in freedom. It doesn't say I will be free. It doesn't say the Word sets me free. It says because I've devoted myself to this Word, now I've got a plan and a path to walk in. I can stay free. So let's talk three things that the Holy Spirit and the Word, when they come together, they want to do. They want to transform three aspects of my life in your life today. Okay? Those three aspects are this. The first one is the Holy Spirit and the Word will transform my will. My mind, my will, my emotions, my thoughts, my actions, like everything that comes from up here gets transformed. And so just a quick little kind of an anchor thought for this point is that the Holy Spirit aligns my thoughts and desires with God's Word. The Holy Spirit aligns my thoughts and desires with God's Word, shaping me away from selfishness and towards His heart. That's an important thought for you today. Because here's the thing, you still have thoughts. The Holy Spirit's not going to brainwash you in the sense that we're used to brainwashing. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is He wants to help your thoughts and your desires to line up, to align themselves with what you already know about God's Word. The problem is sometimes is we don't know God's Word. And so therefore our mind doesn't have anything to line up with. Again, going back to if the only time you get God's Word is on Sunday morning, that's a long time to spend not being able to align yourself with something, right? It's like going to the gym when I was younger and I would go to the gym. I think I shared this the other day. When I would go to the gym by myself, I'd go to the YMCA at, you know, in the morning. I'd be in there by myself. And I didn't have a plan. I would just randomly work out body parts and then get frustrated that nothing ever changed, right? I didn't get any healthier, any fitter, or look any better because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a plan. I needed a plan and a structure, something to follow. The same is true with God's Word. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? How does He transform you? He transforms you by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. If God can change the way I think, then my actions will follow. We've got to have right thoughts, right attitudes, if we want our actions to change. We only get those by aligning with God's Word. Ephesians 4:23 says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. John 14:26, Jesus said, I told you I'm going to hit you with a bunch of verses today. If you want the notes, just let me know. I'll email them out or whatever. John 14:26, but when the Father sends the Advocate, talking about the Holy Spirit, he says that, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. So let's look at the practical side of that. What is Psalm 119? That's our chapter for today. Psalm 119, verse 15 says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. So how do I align my thoughts with God's word? I study God's word and I reflect on God's word. Now, study may not mean that you're, you know, doing like I might do for a sermon, right? Like if I'm getting ready for a sermon, I'm going through, I've got commentaries and I'm reading commentaries. I'm reading books about whatever chapter I'm going to be preaching that Sunday. I've got other pastors that I'm listening to that are preaching on that same thing. Maybe you're not doing that on your daily basis. But study could just be as simple as the other day I got up in the morning, I'm reading my Bible, I'm writing in my journal, and I didn't have a lot to write about because I'm reading through Jeremiah right now, and he doesn't always give me a lot. Like sometimes Jeremiah spends way too much time talking about the Babylonians, and I just don't care, right? It's hard to grasp some of the stuff that the Babylonians are going through. But I came across this one thing and I thought, well, that's interesting, and I don't know what that is. And so in my journal, I just wrote a little note, put a little question mark by it. And then later I went back and I studied and I tried to figure out, what did that word mean? What did that concept mean? It's just a little bit of study. Now, it turns out it didn't mean anything and it didn't help me. But I did try. I did try on that one. The point is this. Sometimes we just need to study. Sometimes we need to do a little bit of research. We need to dig into God's word a little bit. And maybe it may not be much, but it may be a little bit. And it gives you something to reflect on throughout your day. Some of you guys that are in school, you teenagers that are in school, you may need to have a verse that this week you're going to reflect on. Maybe a verse about your attitude, or maybe a verse about respect and honor when it comes to teachers. And you may say, look, no matter what my teacher says today, if my teacher's mean to me, if my teacher's, you know, being crazy, I'm going to respect and honor that teacher. And I have this verse and I just reflect on it all day long. Psalm 119, 47 and 48, it says, how I delight in your commands, how I love them. So if you delight in something, it means you're spending time with it. You're consuming it, right? You're putting it in your brain. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. Psalm 119, 97 says, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. How can the Holy Spirit change my mind and change my thought patterns and my attitudes? He can do it whenever I take God's word and I just think about it all day. I just ponder it. Maybe it's taking a verse and writing it on a card and sticking it in your car. Maybe it's taking a verse and writing it on a card, putting it on your mirror. Maybe it's on your desk at your office. Listen, I know this sounds super practical, but if we get away from the practical, then we're going to get away from some avenues that God can use to transform us. There are some things that God needs to use, and sometimes we keep looking for the big spiritual and we forget the little practical that God can use to transform us. My natural thoughts and desires are always going to shift towards selfishness. Always. I'm always going to want to do what benefits Gabriel. I rarely want to do something that benefits other people until God gets a hold of me and begins to transform me. And transform my thoughts and my attitudes. And the more I read His Word, the more I study His Word, the more I allow His Word to get in me, the more I engage with His Word, the more my thoughts and my attitudes align with Him. The second transformation we go through is not only the transformation of our will, but the transformation of our walk. That's our daily actions, the way we do stuff. Not just what you do on Sunday, but what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? How you're living your life on Saturday, how you're living your life on Friday. So that's our walk. And so here's a key like anchor thought for you today. If you're taking notes, it's the Spirit uses the word to guide my steps and keep me from sin. He wants to guide your steps and keep you from sin. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. It's important to understand that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, we say this verse a lot in here. So if you're new here, just if you decide to come back next week, you'll probably hear this verse again. We say it a lot. The Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness and of sin, right? The Holy Spirit, what does He do in your life? He is constantly convicting you, or another word for that is convincing you of what is right versus what is sin. And here's the thing. If you don't have a basis for Him to use, if you don't have a standard for Him to use, then it's not going to make any sense. So you're going to be confused. So we use God's word as a standard for how to live. God's word gives us laws. It gives us orders. It gives us commandments. God's word gives us examples of people. God's word shows us the heart of God. And so therefore, it gives us that standard that he can use to help us to know what's right versus what's sin. Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word." The ESV, that's the New Living Translation. The ESV says this, "By guarding his way according to your word." I love that. I love the idea that God's word is like guardrails for my actions. How can I stay pure? It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? I'm claiming that. I'm still young, right? 40-something years old, I'm going to claim that as being young. And so how does a young man keep his way pure? And you can all claim that today. By obeying, by allowing God's word to guard my actions. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I'm not saying that you're never going to sin just because you read your Bible. But what I am saying is, the more of God's word that you hide in your heart, that you treasure in your heart, that you meditate on and you put in your life, the easier it is to overcome sin. Because now I got something that tells me that this is sin. All of a sudden, I've got something that helps me know what the heart of God is. And so therefore, I don't want to disrespect somebody. Therefore, I don't want to bypass somebody. Therefore, I want to tell someone about the Lord. Why? Because I know his heart. I know his mission. I know what he wants to do. Why? Because I've been reading his word. Verse 37, I put this one in the ESV. Casey, I hope I put it in the ESV for you back there. It says, "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." I love that. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. I was just talking to a guy this week. He doesn't go to church here, so you don't have to start wondering who it is. And he was telling me about his friend who also doesn't go to church here. And he was just saying, he's like, "Hey man, be praying for my buddy. I'm trying to lead him to the Lord. I've been talking to him. I took him, to church with me, and I feel like God's really working on him." And I said, "Oh yeah." He said, "But he's dealing with this one sin. He's dealing with this one area of sin, and he doesn't really know how to break free from this sin. And I've been trying to tell him, some different things." And as he and I talked, one of the things we talked about was this verse right here: "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things." And I said, sometimes it's just what we're focused on. It's what we're looking at. And I said, one of the best ways to get away from that is to get your focus on something else. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I told him, I said, I just, whenever you feel tempted, just go back to God's word, read God's word, get your eyes focused on something totally different." It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can use his word to keep us from sin. Verse 105, we've got two more in Psalm 119. 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." 133 says, "Guide my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil." One of the things I love, we use the GPS as an example for the Holy Spirit and God's word all the time, right? Because what does a GPS do? A GPS has a physical map, the path, but then it also has that voice that tells you. It's got some kind of intelligence to be able to tell you what to do. And one of my favorite ones is Waze. I don't know if you guys use Waze or not, but I like Waze because one of the things that Waze will do, some of you are looking at me like I'm funny, Waze is kind of like Apple Maps or Google Maps, only different, right? And so on Waze, what it does is Waze is already looking ahead, and it knows where all the trouble spots are. And before you get to them, it starts rerouting you. It doesn't wait for you to get to the wreck. Waze already knows. I don't know how it knows. I don't know anything about technology. Last week, I was talking like a robot and singing on the front row. I can't even turn off a mic. But I know Waze knows, and that's all that matters, right? I let Waze tell me what to do, and Waze already reroutes me wherever I'm supposed to be, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows what's in front of you. The Holy Spirit knows the temptation that's out there, and the Holy Spirit immediately starts trying to reroute you. Immediately starts trying to reroute you. You may wonder, why is it that I feel like I need to kind of disconnect from this place or this activity or this person? I feel like something's going on here. It may be that the Holy Spirit sees something and is already trying to reroute you. Why do I feel like I need to go hang out with this person? I need to get in this small group? Or why do I need to be a part of this thing? Maybe because the Holy Spirit knows what you need and is already rerouting you to the right place. So the Holy Spirit wants to do that for us. The Holy Spirit guides us and convicts us. He gives me the truth, the standards, and the examples from God's Word. The last thing that He transforms is He transforms my worship. And when I'm talking about worship today, I don't just mean the singing portion of the service. That is what we call worship, but that's not all of what worship is, right? Worship is how we live before the Lord. My walk is how I live before man, but my worship is how I live before the Lord. And we can always get our walk right. Listen, you need the Holy Spirit. I believe it. You need God's Word. I believe it. But Oprah is going to tell you some really good things about how to get your walk right. Right? Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil or Dr. whomever, they can give you some good tips on how to get your walk right, but ain't nobody going to tell you how to get your worship right except for God's Word and God's Spirit. The Spirit uses the Word to teach me true worship. What is true worship? It's humility and the fear of the Lord. Look at John chapter 4. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Maybe you've heard this. Maybe you watched The Chosen season 1 and you saw Jesus talk to the woman at the well and you cried like some people did in my small group one time. And it might have been me. I don't know. And so you're sitting there and this Jesus is sitting at the well and he's talking to this woman. And in verse 23, he says, "But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now, he says it once, but if he says it twice, he really means it, right? Like it's something you better pay attention to. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way. Verse 24, "For God is Spirit, so those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." How do I worship God in spirit and in truth? What does that mean? The truth there means, if you look that word up, which I did, the truth there talks about, it's talking about God's Word. It's saying I worship God with the full counsel, the full understanding of God's Word, what it says to me, what it says about me, what it says about Him. When I worship God, I don't just come in and I sing some songs. And one of the things I talked to Pastor Jonathan about is I said, I really want us, as we pick songs for Sundays, I want songs that'll get you clapping and moving. I want songs that you can enjoy. And those are all fine and dandy. But I would rather have songs that are based in God's Word. I mean, if you don't like the rhythm of the song, that's okay. As long as the message of the song is from God's Word. As long as we're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And there's a lot of songs out there that are good songs. And they're great for driving around and listening to. But whenever it comes time that I'm going to worship the Father, I need to understand the truth of God's Word. Look, we sing a song today talking about the faithfulness of God. Right, Allie? Okay. Talked about the faithfulness of God. You can't know the faithfulness of God unless you know the truth about God. You might know a few things that He's done in your life, but you're not old enough to have Him done a ton of stuff in your life yet. Some of you are. But I can look back thousands of years of faithfulness. I can go through thousands of years of God doing something in people's lives, of God transforming people, of God saving people, of God judging people, but then turning around and rescuing people, and God forgiving people. I can go through thousands of years of His faithfulness right here in this one book. So now all of a sudden, when I start singing about the faithfulness of God, I'm not just looking at my 45 or 6 years, whatever, however old I am. I'm not just looking back at those years of faithfulness. Now all of a sudden, I'm stretching back to Noah. I'm stretching back to David. I'm stretching back to Moses. I'm looking back at what God did for Paul and Peter. And I'm looking back at the faithfulness of God through generations. And now that song means more to me. I worship God in spirit and in truth. Psalm 119:38 helps us with that. It says, "Reassure me of your promise," right, faithfulness, "made for those who fear you." The promises of God aren't just for everybody. The promises of God are for those that fear God. And we've talked about this. We did a whole series called The Fear of the Lord. And we understand that the fear of God is not the scared of God. It's the I'm in awe and reverence of God. It's like if you've got a fear, a healthy fear of a horse, right? Horses are beautiful animals, and you can ride a horse and have a lot of fun at the horse, and they're wonderful. But if you don't have a healthy fear of horses, it'll kick you right in the face. Someone will video it, and then I'll watch it on social media and laugh at you. I love the ones where the horses kick them. Every time, boom, and they go flying up in the air. What happened? They didn't have a healthy fear. With God, we have to have a healthy fear. Awe and respect. I love him. I respect him. I'm not going to be stupid, right? I'm not going to be stupid. And so that's what the Bible says there. That's our worship. Our worship is fearing the Lord. Walking in the fear of the Lord is part of your worship. Psalm 119, 120 says this, I tremble in fear of you. I stand in awe of your regulations. Man, I love that. I stand in awe of your word. The word regulations, there's another word for word. I stand in awe of your word. Whenever I open up the scriptures, tomorrow morning when I wake up and I put my Bible down and I put my journal down and I open up the Bible, my prayer is, Holy Spirit, speak to me today through your word. I may not understand everything, and yeah, I may be in Jeremiah. Actually, I just finished Jeremiah today, so I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. We'll be somewhere. I'm still going to be in the Old Testament, right? I'm going to say, God, speak to me. Speak to me today. I stand in awe of your word. Why? Because his heart is written on these pages, and I want to know his heart. I want to know what he thinks. Romans 12, 1, and this is, we're getting close to the end for those of you that are worried. Romans 12, 1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. He says, how do I worship him? By being a living sacrifice. In other words, worship isn't about me. It's always about him. Worship isn't about me. It's always about him. And that's why sometimes I get a little bit frustrated whenever people come in and they just sit through worship, the singing portion. They kind of sit through it and they're kind of mad looking. And they're like, well, I like it whenever, you know, someone's preaching, or I like it whenever someone's talking. But they, you know, I don't really like that song. Or I like that song, but I don't like the other song. So I'm gonna worship God on one song and I'm going to kind of pout on the other song. And I'm like, you know what, though? Last time I checked, none of the songs we sing are about you or me. They're all about him. And if my worship is making him happy, it doesn't matter if it makes me happy or not. My worship should be about him always. I am a living sacrifice. Let's end with this. A quick little recap. We know that Jesus sets me free. The Spirit keeps me free. And the Word shows me how to walk in that freedom. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 and 18 says this, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, so they're able to see clearly. Whenever we come to the Lord, when we turn to the Lord, we repent of our sins, we come to the Lord, it says now we can see clearly. It says, verse 17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. One of the things we start every prayer on Sunday mornings with our core team, with our volunteers, the way we start those prayers is we say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Why? Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And some of us need freedom today. Some of us need freedom from sin. We're not living for God. We're living for ourselves, and we're selfish, and we're angry, and we've got all this struggle, and we need freedom from sin. Some of us need freedom from wrong thoughts or attitudes. Some of us need freedom from bitterness today or jealousy. We all need freedom today, and I'm so thankful that the Spirit of the Lord is here and that His Spirit brings freedom. It says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Let's talk about our walk. One of the things that we strive for at Gateway Family Church, we strive to make disciples who look more and more like Jesus in every area of their life. I don't want to look more and more like Gabriel. I want to look more and more like Jesus. I want my life to reflect His glory, not my own. And so the way I'm being discipled, I have other people speaking into my life, and I'm reading His Word, and I'm listening to His Spirit. Why? Because I want to be more like Him and less like me. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so He can increase. And that's what we want to see in our lives. We said this one at the beginning, but Psalm 119:45, I will walk in freedom. Why? Because I've devoted myself to Your commandments. I'll walk in freedom. So Jesus sets me free. The Spirit keeps me free. And the Word shows me how to walk in that freedom. I don't want to be a prisoner that gets out of jail and 5 weeks later I'm back in jail. I don't want to be at a service and respond to an altar call and then turn around and I'm still living the same way I was living when I walked through those doors. I want to be transformed. I want to be made new. The Bible calls it being born again. That's how I want to live my life. I want to walk in freedom. So this week, here's my challenge to you before we pray. My challenge is for you to choose one way. Super practical. Choose one way to engage with God's Word this week and invite the Holy Spirit to teach you from His Word. Maybe you say, Gabriel, I'm really good at that. Like, I can read the book of John and learn how to live. Then I invite you to read the book of Jeremiah. If you're so tough, see what you got. That was dumb, but it was kind of funny at the same time. I want to engage with God's Word. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in me through His Word. Won't you stand up with me this morning? We need to pray. I need to let you go. Now, something God's Word says, if any of you are struggling, if anybody's sick, whether physical, mental, emotional, if there's something wrong in your life right now, there's something going on and you need God to do a work in your life, the Bible says, call the elders of the church together and let them lay hands on you and pray for you. And so what we're about to do is I'm going to pray over you, but every Sunday morning, I want to give you the opportunity to let some people in this church pray for you. And so we got a prayer team, and as I pray, they're going to slip out of their seats. They're going to walk down to the front. And when I get done praying, we're going to sing one more song. And if you need prayer for anything today, I want to invite you to slip out of your seat, come down, let them pray for you. They'll send you right back to your seat. But let me pray for you first as they come forward. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to speak to our hearts right now. We invite you to speak to our hearts right now. What are the areas in our life where we might need some freedom? What are some areas in our life where we need to be transformed and we need to be made new? God, what is it that You're trying to do in us? What are You trying to say to us? God, we want to take a moment right here just to listen. We want to hear what You got to say. So I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Convict us of righteousness. Convict us today of sin. Show us what it is that we need to be doing. And I pray that You would touch our lives and transform us and don't let us leave here the same. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I encourage you, tell one of these people down front, let them pray with you today. Be born again. Find freedom in Jesus. Stay free by His Spirit and walk that freedom out every day by His Word. In Jesus' name.